All right, Minor Talk is live. I'm Adrian Broaddus, represented by Jack in the Box. I am flying completely solo dolo here this evening. If you want to weigh in on the program, 915-505-6009. I'll use this as an opportunity to talk all things UTEP after winning this one right here. In dominant fashion to close this one out, 70-55 was the final for the Miners, beating Delaware here at the Haskins Center. It was an important win for the Miners. Obviously, two teams who are near the bottom of the conference. They need the tiebreak right here against Delaware, and that's exactly what they got. I feel like for UTEP having this victory tonight, there were a couple important things for it. First off, kind of weathering the storm, right? They were shooting 3-for-20 from the floor to start things off, 15%. They were down as much as 18-7. That lead ended up being 20-10 in favor of the Blue Hens, and honestly, I was getting worried. I mean, I was thinking to myself, if this offense cannot get going here tonight, and the defense, which has been as shaky as it's been all season long, I just don't know how the Miners are going to get back into the game. The first 15 minutes were some really bad basketball on both sides. I mean, there's a reason why the Blue Hens are who they are and have the record that they do here. There's a reason why, you know, they've been at the bottom of Conference USA all season long. And the Miners go on a 13-0 run to close out the first half. They force four turnovers in 4 minutes. They cut the game to 23-20, rallied back somehow. They ended up going on that big run to close out the half and ended up leading at the break 27-25. And Elijah Jones hit a big late-game late shot clock buzzer for a really good one to go ahead at the half. They forced 9 turnovers in the first half as well, the Miners did. And I thought, you know, for UTEP to have that rally back in the first half, that was more impressive to me than what they did in the second half. I think the second half was strong by the Miners, especially the first couple minutes out of the break. I liked the fact that they went on a 14-2 run to come out of the second half. 41-27 was their big lead they had around the 15-minute mark. And look, the Miners were down so bad in the first half. For them to rally back the way that they did, it was truly impressive. So if you want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Again, I'm flying solo tonight, so we're going to take on some calls like cold. We're going to bring people on here on the program here throughout the night. If you want to weigh in with us, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600ESPNElPaso.com. You can also chat with us in real time on our app, 600 ESPN El Paso. That's where we'll read some of those comments all night long. We got a bunch of comments already coming in. I want to also say this. The Miners, they distanced themselves in the second half. They had an 8-0 run late in the game, and they were up 66-54. The game was kind of hanging in the balance. There was that one point where Delaware cut it to be a 2-score game late in this one, about 3 minutes left. And I liked the way the Miners closed this one out. They had, you know, Jamal West Jr., who had 4 fouls. He finished the game with 15 points. Really solid game by him. All 15 points came in the second half, by the way. And, you know, for the Miners to get this win, it was a really bad loss they had on Thursday. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? I didn't really like the way that the Miners came out. I didn't like how they came out against Missouri State. This felt more like the FIU game. This felt like the Miners had full control in the second half, and that's what they did. 70-55 was the finish. You want to talk about it with us? 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. 600ESPNElPaso.com. That's where we can start us off here on the program. Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Multiple locations in El Paso. They're open 365. 24/7, by the way, because cravings don't have a curfew at Jack in the Box. Minor Talk will continue. We'll get out to a caller here. Caller, who is this? Who's with us to start off the show?
This is Enrique.
Enrique, good evening, man. Thanks for calling in here this evening. Go ahead. You give us your thoughts here after a UTEP victory.
I sure will, but I got a quick question for you, Adrian.
I don't want to answer it.
How about the Miners?
You always come at me, Enrique. You come at me with the positivity. It's a breath of fresh air because, you know, in a season that's needed a lot of positivity, Miners are 8-14. you know, they're 4-7 in the conference. We'll get to the conference standings right now. They're not near the, you know, they're still near the bottom. They're not out of the woods just yet. But tonight was a solid win, step in the right direction. They needed this one in the biggest way possible.
They sure did, Adrian. It was a good game. Second half wise, but it was just tough to see the first half because it just reminded me so much of what was going on with LA Tech that game. And it's at this point, it just feels like a bad Band-Aid that you just got to rip off and get this season over with. You know, get the heck out of CUSA. I know we got to live in the present. You know, we got about, what, 9 more games left in the season. I don't know where we're going to go in the tournament if we even make it. But my eyes are already looking at Mountain West, and I wanted to pick your brain on that a little bit if you can.
Well, tell me, what makes you excited about the Mountain West? You tell me.
It's a breath of fresh air, like you said. Like this game, this team, this city, we're just ready for a new breath of fresh air. It's just CUSA just doesn't cut it anymore. You know, like, I think at this point, you know, it's just a bad drink that you got, and you just got to, you know, finish it and just move on, you know?
I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air too, Enrique. I would say this, for the Mountain West right now, it's going to be different because in Conference USA, there's teams like Liberty right now who obviously stand atop the league. They're 10-0 in the conference, 8-13 overall. They're probably going to be sniffing some kind of rankings in the month of February, not right away in February, but they're clearly the best team in the conference right now. It's not even close. And then the rest of it, it's just a crapshoot. I mean, UTEP's 4-7, Missouri State's 7-4, 3 games separate UTEP and the second place team when it's all said and done. And I thought Missouri State was beatable. Like, the Miners had that opportunity in the first half. That's why I referenced that here in my open, that game really frustrated me for UTEP because, you know, if you're the Miners and you want to think glass half full, well, you would think, well, they can hang with anybody in the conference, but they ended up losing the way that they did in both games to Missouri State. La Tech, that loss was frustrating in itself, but, you know, you reflect back on those games. Those are the ones that are going to be ones that could tell you a little bit more about, like, tiebreakers that don't go their way down the season. I think that's why Sam Houston's important. I think their home-and-home games against Jacksonville State will be really important. And then their second game against Middle Tennessee will be extremely important as well, Enrique. But I'm with you on the breath of fresh air. I'm completely behind that. I'd rather see Wyoming in the Don Haskins Center, New Mexico in the Don Haskins Center, Nevada, UNLV, Air Force, you name it. I'd much rather see those teams for an entertainment purposes. More than anything else, I think that's the biggest thing, right? I could say right there.
You basically said everything like I was feeling, and I don't really think Liberty is going to stick around. The way they've been playing, it's a miracle that no one's poached that team yet out of CUSA. Like, I can see them easily going to the American, you know, and being heavily competitive over there. And I was talking to a fan, and he was making a notion a lot of fans have been making this year, like, get Golding out. But both of us kind of know already, if we do that, we got to eat a big pocket of that change that we got to pay him. And I'm going to say my last question, I'll get off the air, is if this, imagine we're already in 26th season for basketball. We're at this point in Mountain West play. Does Golding even have a job at this point, or do we fire him at the end of the season? And I'll take this off the air.
Thank you, Enrique. I appreciate your phone call. Our telephone number, if you want to follow that up, 915-505-6009. I just feel like we're going to judge this entire season. We're going to judge, this entire year on how they finish. And I mean, that's me being an optimist thinking that, but it's also me being fair because if you reflect back 2 seasons ago, they make it all the way to the NCAA or the Conference USA title game. And prior to that, this was really a 500 team, pretty much. They were 16-15 going into Conference USA or the Conference USA tournament that year. And then they, you know, ran it up and went all the way to the conference title game against Western Kentucky and ended up losing in that one. But that team was just kind of, you know, okay. They were just kind of teetering around 500. And if UTEP can just kind of hang around, I think that's what they're hoping for, right? Like, that's their goal. Now, for me to think that, it's wishful thinking. I truly believe you have to kind of look back on that 2022-23 season when they went 14-18, had a losing season, and bowed out in the first round of the conference tournament. Look, if they make the league tournament, they're likely going to be an 8th, 9th, 10th seed. Maybe they can get up to like kind of middle of there, but they have a lot of work to do if they want to get there. And I feel like for the Miners, they've just, you know, they've dug themselves into a hole where all you can hope for is just playing much better to close out the season. Now, firings and all of that, is he, you know, golding with them in the Mountain West? I know how a lot of people feel. Me personally, I just don't know. I think it's early. I think it's I don't know if this team, like Enrique was saying, or this organization, this athletic department, has the kind of means to do that kind of stuff. And then at the same time, like going into the Mountain West, you want to have some momentum. You want to have some like a breath of fresh air, and you want to have some excitement going into that. So that will be how I judge the way that this team closes out, is how they finish off the season in a more positive way to give them more momentum going in the Mountain West. And if not, there's going to have to be some really, you know, tough decisions made down the line by this administration. So we'll see what happens when it's all said and done. But we'll get back to Twitter next. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. Manny David checking into the program. Nice win for UTEP men's basketball. Looked like it was going to slip away in the first half, but they kept battling. Fatigue eventually got to Delaware. Enjoy the win tonight, then get ready for Sam Houston on Wednesday. Finish strong. Hashtag on to the next. Hashtag Miner Talk. Good stuff, Manny. This one from UTEP Repost Guy. Nice, decent crowd tonight. There was 4,777 fans in attendance. So, yeah, an uptick in fans compared to the other ones. And I go back to what, you know, head coach Joe Golding was saying, how he appreciated the fans. And I really do think the $9.15 ticket helps move the needle. I know it doesn't necessarily, it might not move the needle for like the season ticket holders who could be a little frustrated at this, but I do believe that for the casual fan, for the families out there who just want to experience some basketball, it's good. Now, what that means for New Mexico State next week, that's going to be interesting. Miners host the Aggies next Saturday. Sandwiched in between, they've got the Sam Houston game on Wednesday. Miners need, you know, a lot of fans to show up for that matchup. And I know the Aggie fans will try to travel for that one, because that one could have implications on who might be at the bottom of this conference. I mean, New Mexico State, they got killed today against Kennesaw State. And Kennesaw right now, 14-8, 6-5 in conference play. They're a pretty solid team. I would worry right now if I were an Aggie fan, just knowing how they've slid in the past month or so. I mean, they've really struggled, lost 4 in a row. They've lost 6 of their last 7 games right now. The only one that they've won in between that stretch is a Delaware victory under their belt. They go on the road against La Tech next Wednesday. I think that's a loss. And then UTEP, New Mexico State next Saturday. That's going to be a coin toss. I truly believe that. It's, you know, it's Jamel Jones in the backcourt for that New Mexico State squad. And it's going to be, you know, this New Mexico State team trying to get back to their winning ways. But if they're coming into the Haskins Center on potentially a 5-game losing streak, I mean, the onus is on the Aggies next Saturday. I truly believe that. I think that the Aggies are going to have to try to come into the Haskins Center and try to steal one. Pressure's not on for UTEP in that light. Like, I think I would like the place UTEP would be going into next week. And again, what does this all mean when it's all said and done? Maybe not a lot, right? Bragging rights for UTEP fans, because, you know, they definitely want to beat the Aggies, especially what happened last year in that 30-point loss. And you know, capitalize on a team that's kind of sliding right now and get an advantage win against a team that really, you know, hasn't been good over the last month or so. So definitely we could talk about that more. 915-505-6009. Poncho checks in. Terrible first half, a little better second half. Why wasn't EJ playing in the first half? Hashtag Miner Talk. You know, I think they were just not getting much from a lot of guys. Like, he had 11 minutes in there, so I don't want to say he wasn't playing, but definitely not the Elijah Jones minutes that you typically see in the first half. I think they were also trying to switch things up and play more guard heavy in the first half to try to tire them out. And I think that worked out in the second half, or going into the second half. Delaware, they really, you know, pride themselves on that zone defense that they have on their side. I think the Miners did a good job in the second half making shots. Golding liked the looks in the first half. They just weren't falling in. And now, you know, for the Miners moving forward, I think shot selection is important, but also, you know, trying to manipulate the basketball down low. That's how they had success in the second half. Jamal West Jr. scoring as much as he did in the second half with 15 points all coming after the break. That was impressive right there. And the Miners, you know, really needed that to close out this game here tonight against Delaware. 70-55, that's a finish. 915-505-6009. We've got another caller here on Miner Talk. Caller, who is this here on the program?
What's going on, man? It's Hunter.
Hunter, look at you saving the day. I'm here solo dolo, and I could always count on you to save the day. What's going on, my man? How are you?
Man, how did everybody leave you alone, man? How'd that even
happen? I know. We have like 15 people here on Miner Talk, and I'm the only one here tonight. Isn't that crazy?
Hey, how come, your celebrity guest you have every now and then, is it Jason Williams?
He's out of town. Zay's busy. Sal's busy. Everybody's busy here tonight. So, it was solo dolo here tonight.
Man, you should have told me. I would have gone by and kept you company.
There,
man,
you go. That would have been great. I should have just had you something in the host chair here tonight. I could have run it back here.
Would have been there, man.
Hey, Hunter, I know you're calling in for this one, but I want to ask you this question because you weigh in heavily on UTEP basketball all season long, but this one interests me on your thoughts. Earlier this week, the Field of 68, which does a good job covering college basketball, they were doing the Conference USA job rankings. Number one was Liberty, two Western Kentucky, three New Mexico State, four and five Middle Tennessee and Missouri State, respectively, and six was UTEP. Your thoughts on that, you know, Miners being ranked the sixth best job, I guess, by the Field of 68. They polled a ton of coaches anonymously and asked them to rank every job in the league itself. So what'd you think of that one right there?
That's strictly basketball.
Strictly basketball. And football was like one of the toughest jobs in all of group of five, or group of six play, I should say. But this is just basketball and just Conference USA.
You know, I'd say it's pretty accurate. You know, you gotta look at where teams are trending, right? Where is everybody trending? And obviously Liberty's seems to always be trending up, right? And then, you know, Missouri State, it might sound funky that they're ahead of them, especially with the tradition here and the facilities here, but they came from a lower level. They're here now competing. Their athletic department seems like it's expanding and improving. And meanwhile, we have the opposite over here with ours, right? We're kind of on a continual decline with basketball. So I think that's fair. I mean, where would you see them otherwise? You got to look at Middle and Western are up there. And
well, why is New Mexico State higher than UTEP? Their program was dormant a couple of years ago.
But the overall, if you look at the last 5 years, they've had more success than UTEP, and they were even able to completely rebuild. And the following year had a year very similar to UTEP, even after their program was completely devastated.
Yeah, I think so too. But like the trend this year is really bad. Like if they have a losing record this year, that wouldn't mean well for Hooten, who's 13-9 his first year, 17-15 his second year, and this year so far under 500 with New Mexico State.
Yeah, so you'd have to think it's a toss-up, and then you just give the more recent success from NMSU the nod over UTEP, right? When's the last time UTEP was relevant? I mean,
it's fair.
NMSU's gone to the tournament way more in recent history, gotten a win in recent history. So in a toss-up, I'd give it that. Because at least that's recent, right?
And but I don't know what proximity, geography, the conference they're going to stay in too. Like if I was a coach, I would think the Mountain West is desirable because at least it's more eyeballs and, you know, it's at least teams that people actually know about.
Well, it's all how you look at it, right? Like they might be looking at it like, oh man, UTEP's on the decline in this conference. Just wait till they go there. They're going to be the doormat.
Fair.
Especially if their athletic department's not going to improve what they give the coaches and the team to succeed. You know, it seems like the administration's happy with participating versus going for championships, right? That and actions speak louder than anything. They haven't invested in anything. They haven't improved anything significantly. It's status quo. So maybe they look at it as NMSU is going to stay in weaker competition, has an easier time to turn it around and have some success in the conference than UTEP's going to face when we're in a conference that money-wise and, you know, everything else that they bring to the table is pretty competitive with the rest of the conference. And we're still where we're at. So next year, when they're in a conference where they're going to be near the bottom of investing into athletics, what's going to happen then?
That's a little scary. That's a little scary to me. Like, when you stack up money, I mean, UTEP right now, middle of conference, you say next year they're going to have to make more investment to be higher in the Mountain West, or at least in the middle of Mountain West. And that's where I think they want, I guess they're expecting to be, they want to be, but I guess time will tell. Any thoughts on this game, Hunter? You know, we got a couple other calls to get to here today, thankfully, here on the program, but thoughts here today on the UTEP win, any positives you take away? Because we've known your calls all season long. You've been pretty down on this team like a lot of others.
You're not just going to be talking to yourself also. That's a good thing.
Yeah, thank goodness.
going back to your last point, though, real quick. I don't think UTEP's middle of the pack with athletic budget. They might be middle of the pack with NIL, but overall athletic budget, they got to be top three in conference USA, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I would agree with that.
So if we're top three in spending and we're still bottom of the barrel, what are we going to be when we're bottom of the barrel spending? I mean, it's going to be ugly with – If we keep the status quo, if they don't invest. But as far as today, luckily I only caught the part, you know, like the last 17 minutes. I didn't watch that first half that you're talking about that apparently was horrible. But I'll tell you what I did like today, man. West is just, he's a man amongst boys down there. I love it. He's aggressive. He gets after it. I really like, that's the best I've seen them execute against the zone defense in Joe Golding's era. They moved the ball. They made the extra passes. They worked for a good shot instead of settling. That's a really positive thing. I've never seen that with a Joe Golding team. Normally someone throws a zone at him and they panic. There was no panic in these guys. You know, they went through their little slump where they cut it to four, but there were some missed open shots, and, you know, there's going to be runs in games. But besides that second half, they executed. It seemed like they had a little more energy today. They were going after loose balls, even though they gave up a few too many offensive rebounds that I'd like. They moved the ball, and they had some effort. And, I mean, they should be 15 points or so better than Delaware, so that's good. And I think overall, I mean, it's been a frustrating season, but they are playing better than they were at this point, you know, last month. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, big time. I mean, last month, this time, you were actually starting to push the panic button and wondering. I mean, they went on that three-game slide when they were on the road to start conference play, and I was really worried about UTEP. So, yeah, it did go up, obviously, from there. The quality of opponent was not there here tonight. But still, you beat up on the bad teams, and that's what UTEP did. And I think for that, they could be happy for that one.
100%, man. Like, you can't choose your opponent. You just choose how you play against them. And just overall, UTEP's quality of play has improved. They're moving the ball. Just what we're not going to see is better point guard play. We're just not going to see it. I love how he finishes around the basket at times, and he does some things good, man. He turns the ball over way too much for me. It's sickening. There were some just brutal passes, and I'm like, man, you can't do that. And I forget he's a sophomore, you know what I mean? And he wasn't meant to be the starter, you know what I mean? So we got to be a little easier on him, but that's going to be the part, and that's why we're not going to see a lot of consistency. But the ball movement, the team play has been a lot better, and that's promising moving forward. They're going to finish probably about 7 or 8, get into the conference tournament, and then, you know, I'm not expecting much, but you never know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Hey, appreciate it, Hunter. Thanks for burning some time with me here this evening. I appreciate you, man.
You got it, man. Appreciate you.
All right, that's Hunter joining us here on the phone lines as we continue. Pinky's up with us next, 915-505-6009. Couple comments coming in. This one on our app right now from Ray Ray. Good evening. Just wondering, can a coach recruit a player after the game when they're saying good game, in the handshake line? With the transfer portal, they can offer them some cash to switch teams. Good game. I think that's wishful thinking, right? Like, what? Hey, Joe Golding said good game to me, so now I want to go and play for the minors. I think that's wishful thinking. But in the NIL and transfer portal era, I mean, I guess it's not far off to think that you could strike a relationship with a former opponent or opposition and try to, you know, get them on your team. I guess it's not far off, but kind of interesting and funny right there, Ray Ray. Good job. Pinky's up with us next. Pinky, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, man, following Hunter, man, now Hunter's the man. He's really good points and everything. So thanks, Hunter, for everything you brought up. I just want to, first of all, I'm glad you're there. And I was wondering why I didn't see nobody from your crew out at the game tonight, and I found out why, because everybody's gone. A couple of points on the game. One, tale of two halves. And another one is free shots. The other team, you can't lose to somebody with the name of Hint anyway, because that's not even masculine. But
forget masculine. That shouldn't even be like a mascot or anything like that, right? Like, it's just the worst.
Thank you very much. That's what we were talking about. I said, how can you play for somebody that's a Hint? But how can you lose for somebody that's a Hint? But the other thing is, they scored, the opponent scored half of their points off the free throw line. 27 points from the free throw line. That is crazy. I mean, I thought I would never see a team that would shoot more poorly than UTEP. I saw it tonight.
Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, Miners, when they were 3 of 20, I was like, how could it get worse? Well, the Blue Hens in the second half were pretty much worse.
They had the big guy, number 44, shooting three-pointers. And he didn't even come close to hitting on the mark. So I'm just going, hey, let him shoot all night. That's fine with me. You know, and that's the point. The point is, to me, is the Miners won, and I'm always happy when the Miners win. It becomes a happy Saturday night. So thanks a lot. Thanks, Adrian, for staying up with us tonight. I appreciate it very much. You're a cool dude.
You're the man. I appreciate you, Pinky. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and then 600 ESPN El Paso on our app. A couple other points coming across our desk here. Cesar Cubillos, it was just Delaware, but good win. Miners started slow, but turned it around. I even liked the promo atmosphere. Women and men, both with good wins. Shout out Keith Adams with a big win for the women's basketball squad. They needed a win in the biggest way possible, and they got it against New Mexico State by 10. So shout out the women's basketball squad from earlier today. Ice Cubillos follows it up with this. The Las Cruces fans got chirpy with Jason Craig at the women's game. The men's game will definitely be worse, even if it's only for pride. Not a great final Conference USA season, but we could still take down those guys up I-10. Hope to see fans show up. This is coming in from Blaine, and this is Blaine checking in on Twitter next. Let the Joe Golding February collapse commence. Ugh, man, that's tough. As far as Joe Golding in the month of February, we've documented this. In his first season, that was with the Sule Boom and the Jamal Bienemy and Keontae Kennedy squad, all of them. They went 3-4 in the month of February. The year after that, 2022-23, they were 2-6 in the month of February. The year after, this was the Conference USA tournament run year where they went all the way to the championship game. They were 3-5 in February. And then last year, they were 2-5 in the month of February. I mean, February, for whatever reason, is really tough for this program. That is a 10-20 record for Joe Golding coach squads at UTEP in the month of February. And it just is what it is. This is a stat that we've documented over the years. It's one of those right there that, hey, you could say March is the month that really matters for UTEP. You just got to get in the tournament. And if they get to that 3-6 win mark, or I should say 3-5 record in the month of February, I think that would bode extremely well for UTEP, because they're a team that doesn't play particularly well in the month of February. So if they can make that happen, it'll be a really good thing for the squad here moving forward. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. I'll come back and wrap this one up here. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Streaming worldwide. through the 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. 600 ESPN El Paso is KROD El Paso, a Town Square Media station.
915-505-6009, our telephone number to get into the program. A couple other talking points to get to here tonight. Again, UTEP 70, Delaware 55. UTEP today shot 38% from beyond the arc, 6 for 16, but they held the Blue Hens to just 9%. 2 for 23 from the perimeter for Delaware tonight. Just atrocious shooting by them. They were 27% in the game from the floor, including 25% in the second half. Simply put, like Pinky said, I thought he nailed it right there. They got everything from the free throw line. They got 27, so basically half of their points from the charity stripe. And the Miners win by 15 when it's all said and done. UTEP's defense finally played a complete game where they could be happy about it. They forced 14 turnovers, forced Delaware to shoot 27% and 9% from beyond the, you know, from their shooting splits. And yet, even though they relinquished that lead for about 17 minutes, almost the first half, the entire first half, they rallied back and never really looked back in the second half. They never relinquished that lead in that second half. And I thought that was the best part about this UTEP squad right there going into that second half. They also, I will say this, Delaware, when they were leading in by 11 points, 18-7, I was thinking, uh-oh, here we go again. Here's UTEP trying to claw their way back. And if they have to play this come-from-behind win or like try to get a come-from-behind victory, just doesn't bode well to UTEP's style of play. But UTEP was able to weather the storm early, and then they used that momentum going out of the first half into the second half to actually boost them moving forward. So the first 5 minutes of the second half was key. King Eric texted me, our spring intern, his key points of the game, and that was really it. The part that, you know, how the Miners closed out the first half, that Elijah Jones buzzer beater at the end to put them up 27-25, and then those first 5 minutes where the Miners, out of the break in the second half, found ways to score and ultimately found a way to win, you know, in a pretty commanding fashion, or I should say a pretty confident fashion. You know, they were confident in the way that they closed this one out, and that's what you want to see from UTEP here. As they've had a struggling season, Little King Official said, boom, once UTEP started making open looks, things changed. Great coaching makes the ball go in. Not really. Defensive intensity is impressive, and Delaware doesn't have handles. They were sloppy with the ball. Shout out to Little King Official, Little King Tunes on X. Guys, we're going to look at Sam Houston real quick. We'll preview the Aggies as well, and then we'll wrap this one up. Sam Houston, 14-7. Chris Mudge, he's back at it here with the squad. They're on a winning streak right now. They've won 5 in a row. They have Louisiana Tech right now here in this matchup, and it looks like from all indications in this matchup, Sam Houston's going to win this one in a pretty easy fashion. 78-63 is the score right now. I'll get you the final when it's all done. But, yeah, the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs are going to win that one to win their 6th straight game. They have UTEP next Wednesday. This is a team right here in Sam Houston that is red hot here. They figured some things out offensively and defensively. Justin Begg is their best player in their backcourt. He's a sophomore. They also use Kashi Nat. He's a senior guard in the backcourt as well. And they've got some size to them, so they can play inside out. They have some guards who can handle for sure. And this is a squad right here that I look at for UTEP, in Sam Houston, that's really trending upward and has had a lot of success as of late. So let's see if the Miners, when they go on the road to Sam Houston, how they fare, and maybe they could try to stop this, you know, winning streak for the Bearcats, or at least play and contend in a close game and then be better going into that New Mexico State game next Saturday. Back to the phones we go. Who is this here joining us on Miner Talk? Hello, Miner Talk. We got a caller. Go ahead.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you. Who's this?
Oh, it's Keith in Winnipeg. I just called.
I'm solo dolo. I just got to throw you on because I don't have a person to screen calls. So I'm solo dolo. I'm doing everything back here. So that's why you just heard a quick beep and us just throw you right in. So Keith, man, you're back with us from Winnipeg. Thanks for joining us. What'd you think of tonight's game?
Probably the same as your who was supposed to be taking the calls. He's celebrating right now. on the streets of El Paso.
There you go. That's right. That's right.
Well, so here, this is my night. So I missed the first 6 minutes of the game because I couldn't get the game. Very frustrating. ESPN Plus is killing me. So, it was a brutal start. So I had to turn on the radio or get this live stream radio on, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. That may have been, without even watching it, the most painful listening basketball for the first 10 minutes I've ever experienced, even worse than last game. But to give them credit, I mean, I bash them all the time. I'm going to give them credit. They did put out a good effort to end the half. So I'll give them that, okay? The second half, it was the start that really got them going. This is my personal feeling of this basketball program, is that how many times when you watch this team all year, do they ever get on a run, like an actual run, like real put out, like let's say you get play good defense, you get a steal, lay up 2 points, be aggressive defense, force a bad shot, get the ball, quickly score, like. And get 50 points. Like
they finally did it today, right? Right?
Exactly.
Like they finally did it today.
Exactly. So, and like one of the things that also, and I'm not in El Paso, so I can't really say as a person who's in the building, but I bet you that would get the crowd going. Like, I mean, listening to these games on TV and sometimes on the radio, it seems like there's two people in the crowd, and that's the fault of the program. I mean, if they're quiet, they're quiet, but. You know, we need winning basketball to build up an atmosphere. And, I mean, I'm not saying this is a turning point because I don't think it is, but it was just fun to get that win late, even though it was Delaware. I mean, it wasn't one of the bigger teams. But, you know, give them credit. It was what it was. And I was following some other games going on. Actually, it was the UAB North Texas game. That was a crazy finish. I was watching that game. I mean, Hey, it is what it is, but we're not competing for a spot in the tournament this year. I mean, there's just no way. But I mean, I'll give them credit. The players tonight can feel good about themselves, and Golden can feel good about them having a strong second half. I'll just put it that way. So it was what it is. I mean, but before I go, I will be calling in for a couple of weeks because I'm on hiatus. The Olympics is coming around the corner. And us Canadians, we take our Winter Olympics pretty seriously. So you won't be hearing me too much. I wish all the Americans good luck in the Winter Olympics. I hope you guys tune in. And I hope Canada and USA hockey, we get at it. And we rock the Olympics like we did the Four Nations Cup. Other than that, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Go Miners.
All right. Good job, Keith. Appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009 as we wind down here. Miner Talk on the program. I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on the show. UTEP's got Sam Houston Wednesday. All eyes are next week, though. I don't care about the outcome on Wednesday. I think as long as UTEP hangs in there, plays respectable against Sam Houston, that'll get a good to decent to good crowd next Saturday. And what does that mean? Maybe over 5,000, their best crowd of the season. Can they push it to 6 if they end up winning against Sam Houston, or if New Mexico State fans really turn up? Sure. I could see that, but you know the Miners will have to kind of wait and see as that game looms next Saturday. It's a huge one. Everyone will be back. Sal will be back. Zay will be back. Chris from Inspo Lens will be back. We'll have us live on Inspo Lens, so you can watch us on Miner Talk as well. And all of that is coming up. All of that will be on deck starting next Saturday. But that'll do it for us here on Miner Talk. I appreciate everybody who called in on the show. Appreciate my team. I was filling in for everybody here this evening, but I appreciate everybody here at 600 ESPN El Paso always holding it down here on the show. So really appreciate them as always. That'll do it for us here on Miner Talk, though. For everybody back here at the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off for Miner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.